I am a man who charges iPhone. I've seen trouble on my phone. That's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou iPhone. You know that one?
Oh, Apple, wear iPhone.
Oh, Elon, wear meme.
Phone. Yeah, that's really... Yeah. That's a good way to kick off the show, I gotta say.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think...
You know, we gotta start off strong. You know, the whole skit I had planned that we were gonna act out, the choreography and all that, I guess that just goes in the fucking bin, you know?
The bin? Okay.
Yeah, I guess it all goes in the bin.
In the bin. You've been hanging out with your fucking limey... You've been hanging out... You told me you were gonna become British this year.
Yeah, well, that's a bunch of rubbish, honestly, because if you think that just because I... I'm in college, and I'm doing really cool stuff with my, you know, I know a lot of stuff that I don't even feel like telling you because
you don't feel comfortable with it.
Would just fucking run over me with that shit and, like, put it in my face, like, push it out of my, take it out of my mind, you know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking, like.
You would just rub it all over, you just rub it on people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
When stuff is wrong with people, you just rub it on their face.
Yeah, I love
what you do because you're, one of those bigwig guys now.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like not a like fundamentally a good person, and I take things out on people. You know, I kind of like if I'm in a bad mood, like I have to like violently, sort of assault, and reprimand and chastise and belittle those around me. It's why everyone that I meet says, "Man, I really like spending time with you." I'm just sort of like an evil guy, you know? Like, nothing about me is good. But that's cool. It's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When do you think we're going to get our first president who has a BBL?
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I really, truly, for real, believe that, like, if not Marjorie Taylor Greene, somebody like her, that's going to be the first woman president. It's not going to be like a Hillary or an AOC. It's not going to be like a hugs and kisses liberal or like a woman power, you know, type progressive-ish person or whatever. It's going to be like one of those like Republican ladies that like that gives hand jobs and likes hunting rifles. You know what I mean? Like that's who it's going to be. And so I don't think she'll have a BBL because the ideal conservative like bombshell body type is like huge, massive cans and kind of like a man's jawline and then just no ass. That's like what, you know, that's what like shit kickers and yee-yee
well,
guys
then we
like.
Can move past that then. We got to get to the BBLs. Where do we see well, that? Well, do we ever see a BBL president or do they fall out of fashion before that becomes a thing? I feel like we come back to a new BBL president later down the line, but by then BBLs look more natural.
I think the way the country's going, I'm serious when I say you could get a tit job president, like some big bolt-ons. You can 100% get a titty job president, no doubt. BBL, they're going out of style. I want to answer two of your questions.
Yeah, but going out of style in the in the media.
People are getting that shit removed.
Yeah, but it's a worldwide phenomenon where I feel like there's too much propaganda going on. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree with you. But what I am saying is that before we get BBL president, we're going to get fake boobies and of our like CrossFit right-wing lady president. That's
fake tits are like a purse now. It means nothing, though.
I understand, you know what I mean? And I completely agree with you. But I also believe that right now we're going back to the like late 90s, early 2000s, where like everybody wants to be rail thin. All the curvy is beautiful shit, that's gone. Kim K got rid of her BBL. She's on Ozempic. She's got a six-pack. She's on the Anavar. She's wearing fucking sports bras and, you know, with her titties out. No more big, beautiful, like, butt-cheek type ladies. That shit's over and done. We're back to, like, huge cans. Like size zero waist and then like no cheek, like huge cheekbones. It's kind of like where we were at before 9/11 in terms of aesthetics for both men and women. I mean, obviously aside from the fake tits, of course. So I think you'll get fake titty president probably in the next 10 years, maybe 15. And then I'll give you this fake titty president She does 4 years. In the time it takes for us to get there, and then for her to serve, BBLs will come back, maybe in like another 15. Say, you know, fashion and body modification is in 20-year cycles, like everything else. So like 2044, I think you'll see BBL president.
I think more likely it's a gay black guy with a BBL.
Oh, interesting. See, I was thinking just ladies. I wasn't really thinking, wow. Yeah, no, I didn't think about that. I see where you're coming from. Conservative. Now, I still think it'll be conservative. I think it'll be one of those, like, sassy conservative gay guys, like a Christian Walker type.
But conservative gay guys are always like, I'm not that kind of gay guy. And they're just
right.
Very vaguely. They're like, I'm a straight gay guy. I fuck.
Yeah. Other straight men that look straight but are also gay. It's like
Christian
Dave Rubin
is a little bit different, but
I think he's a content creator. I'm thinking about like Dave Rubin types. Milo says that he's straight now. He went to conversion camp, but I don't think that stuff is real, nor does it take. So I'm pretty sure he's probably still a gay guy, but he doesn't have the sauce to be president. He's too whiny. He doesn't have the fucking juice, the panache. So I'm with you. I'm with you. I still think you get big fake titty president before BBL president, but I will say that I think BBL president is probably not too far off. Maybe 3 or 4 presidents worth of time, assuming, you know, there's not like a bunch of assassinations back to back or whatever. Now, you could parlay that shit. You could put all of it on Trump getting a BBL like 2 weeks before he wins in November. You know what I mean? Which I think is not a bad idea. You know, if not a BBL, I think he is on Ozempic. Maybe he gets some shit moved around. Guys get that stuff done, you know. You take a bunch of fat from your thighs and, like, put it in your shoulders so it just kind of looks like you have some sort of taper
like
thing going
in
on.
Put it, like, in your taint.
Yeah, you get a
so
big
your penis
taint.
Penis sits further up front?
Yeah, you gotta get it. You get, like, a fupa, but your dick rides it like a big ocean wave.
I want a taint so big that my balls sit above my penis, vertically speaking.
Okay, so you want to have a gooch that allows your nuts to sit
forward. I want my
forward.
Gooch to push up to where my balls look like the two jet engines, you know what I mean?
Okay, and then your dick kind of sits off to the side like it's like a hammer toe?
Yeah,
like
we could almost like
nuts?
Get rid of it, honestly.
Okay, well, I don't think we should do that. I like the idea, though, of your dick kind of curving around the fat set of your nuts under a fatter gooch.
Yeah, I want all the fat taken out of my penis and balls and put in my gooch. And then I want to get the line taken out of my butt, and I want to put it on my mouth.
Okay, Well, now we're just talking nonsense, but I see what you're saying.
Dead serious. Why would I lie to you about something like that? It's like really serious and like something that's been on my mind for a while, and then I fucking try and tell you anything, and you just say some bull crap. That doesn't even make any sense. That's like a freaking, like a dolphin tried to say it or something. And I'm like, shut up.
I guess my concern is like, are you going to have to get a bigger seam? Like, I need a bigger radiator for the van. If you get big gooch, you got to get a bigger nut seam, like a tougher one. One's that's designed for performance. You know what I mean? Like, it can't just be the normal seam on the nut that connects the two halves of the sack. It's got to be like Kevlar sewn or some shit. Just because
like a new stitch done on the inside.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So you want it to still be streamlined.
It would look seamless. You couldn't tell that it was expanded or anything. But yes.
Hmm. Okay. Nice.
It's all good.
Yeah, no, so you're saying big nut sack seam, but streamlined like a
yes.
Hellcat.
As what I was saying, so yes, there's a few different ways to look at it, you know, in terms of streamlining the whole process. Mm-hmm. I think another option was possibly just getting rid of the gooch entirely.
Okay.
You know, just so it goes straight from butt to what's it called? Genitals.
Okay, just asshole and then your nutsack. Okay.
Yeah, that way...
cut out the middleman.
When people have vaginas and stuff,
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
wipe, then they could do an all-in-one motion all in the same place. Just straight back to front.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. For yeah. guys, what that would eliminate, I think, is that if you're a back-to-front wiper, you wouldn't be at so much risk of getting shit on your nuts if you could, like, if you had no taint and you just lifted the nuts and then wiped your ass.
Yeah, or we could just do one hole in the middle.
Mm, cloaca. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Two cloacas.
Where cloaca, shit flock of flame.
Shit comes out of both of them, and both of them can ejaculate also.
That's pretty badass.
That'd be sick. I would probably be embarrassed to do that at a urinal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's not good. But I think, back to your original question, because I can't stop thinking about it. Everybody always is like, oh, the first woman president. Like, I guess we had the first black president. Some people, I guess, have expressed that they don't count Barack, because I think some people were like, when are we going to get our first president? You know what I mean? Like, our first, like, soul brother.
Yeah.
But you know, Barack is an African-American gentleman, so he, you know, he got it. But I am interested in, like, what does the first lady president look like? To me, yeah. It's like a Boebert. It's going to be like a Boebert type. I stand by
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, what if she has, like, big feet?
Yeah, it's going to be
something. And she has, like, webbed toes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's
yeah.
super Irish. Or if she, like...
Polish-American, like, super
yeah.
inbred Slav.
Or what if
type.
She has, like, the lunch lady arms? That'd be sick. And then, and then when kids come up, they just, like, grab them, squeeze them.
Well, I understand. Dude, that would be sick. But I really think that it has to be somebody that conservative guys would want to fuck at a dive bar called Big Mike's Ice House. Like, it has to be somebody that, in order to, for these guys to vote for them and look past the lady thing, they cannot be busted. They also can't be too hot. They, you know what I'm, they have to be kind of like biker lady hot, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
I don't think, like, it's inherently conservative to want a woman of any kind to be president.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying in the end, they would still, like, whoever her VP is, who's some, like, just, like, kind of gray guy, I think they would rather her be VP so they can stare at her.
Yes.
And then
but
she be
can't.
President. They're like, thank God. Yeah, we didn't put some fucking broad in the. She's in the White House. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We're progressive too. And she gets to mop and stuff.
Well, I've been watching, like, a lot of the, like, interviews with, you know, like, Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and stuff. And that's the. That I could see that happening maybe before a full blown lady president. Like. Because with Biden and Kamala, there's no swag. He doesn't really know, like what plane he's on, like, reality-wise. And Kamala is fucking chopped up off benzos constantly. So if you have kind of like a gray, you know, Christian conservative guy kind of down the middle, and then his VP is like a feisty, you know, like, cool suburban alcoholic wine mom conservative, I could see that doing big-ass numbers in this country, primarily because every conservative trusts a gray, dying Christian man. It's like their grandpa. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of
yeah.
Every guy that's like, I just want to have a beer with him. They just want to have a beer with their dad or their grandpa. So have that guy. The VP can be, you know, the girl that they, like, knocked up at Arizona State University, and she got an abortion. Like, she shotguns beers, you know what I mean? And she does CrossFit. And, you know, like, she says cunt. But she's also goes to church, you know what I mean? Like, that, like, the type of mom that would start a fist fight at a T-ball game but then go to church on Sunday, early service. That's the kind of, I think, lady that we could have running the country, or at least, like, assistant running the country in, like, less than 20 years. You know
yeah.
plenty of them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, or even, like, maybe, like, a little girl.
I don't.
Maybe even, like, a little boy. Imagine, like.
Like a conservative baby?
Yeah, I'd vote for a conservative baby.
Yeah, I don't like him either. He says it like it is. Yeah, they stink. I don't like seeing them.
I would vote for a 35-year-old conservative soft boy. What do you think about that? Me saying stuff like that. Do you like when I say stuff like that, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, as a 30-year-old soft boy, I could really identify with other soft boys, regardless of their political, you know, affiliation.
Such a cool term. Such a cool thing to call
yourself.
Yeah,
it's such a cool thing to call yourself.
I feel like it's fun to call yourself something like that if you're a gay guy. But even if you're a gay guy, you gotta be like fucking 19 to call yourself that.
Yeah, it's really one of those things that you can't. You're struggling to get away with it past maybe 22.
As soon as that hairline scoots back a centimeter, you can't be a...
Like, if you want to be an E-boy, that's fine. No. Or you want to be like a soft boy, or whatever the fuck those words mean anymore. That's cool with me. I
want to be like a suck boy, honestly, where like I care about my feelings and stuff.
I want to be like a hard. I want to be a hard boiled egg. Like, I just want to be like a hard boiled egg from 7-Eleven, the ones that you get in the to go cups. That's what I want to be. I just want to be like a kind of a spongy, food poisoning style snack. You know, some people like it, but one thing's for sure, it will make you sick.
The guy who was going to be the president just had to do the craziest stunts? And they just had to, it was like the president battle was like a stunt battle, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh my God, Joe Biden just stuck a fucking iron rod through his hand.
Okay, so like a Jackass style determined, like a competition.
Yeah, or like Donald Trump, he just...
he hit a 900 like in Tony Hawk.
Yeah, like Jill Stein just like put a banana in her butt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like crazy stuff like that, or like maybe dirt bike stuff, maybe.
Yeah, like cool. Oh, like Travis Pastrana, but like Donald Trump does a double backflip at the Boom Boom Hug Jam or whatever the fuck, the Nitro Circus.
Yeah. It'd be funny, you know, John McCain, back in his day, he goes to sit on a dirt bike and his arms are already in dirt bike position when he walks up to it. He just sits down on the seat and he's like,
he's ready
perfect.
To roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at the club and he's always doing this one. Like, just revving the engine, you know?
Yeah.
I do think it is. I remember thinking this, like being on the bus, like, heading downtown when I was in college. And, like, people are, like, throwing up on their shoes and stuff. And like, Snapchatting it and shit. Like, and Instagramming stuff. And I'm like, it's going to be really fun to watch, like, our generations, like, run for big office. Like, big. Because, like. Like George Santos, like everybody had footage of him and like posts of his where he was just lying, saying that like his mom died 9/11 or that his name was like Ricardo Evangelista or that he was like a drag queen princess. He's really the first millennial politician, like to me, like completely full of shit, absolutely no principles, just wants attention. That's going to be basically like everybody, I feel. You know, in the next 10 years or so. Like, imagine you trying to run for mayor and all of this stuff exists.
Sweep.
Yeah. Dude. Clean sweep everybody.
Me? Oh. Oh, I got arrested? Oh, turns out I haven't paid taxes in a few years? Okay.
Yeah.
You make some points. What else? Oh, I've never been good to most people I've known? Okay, well, you got me there. Not good at having a job? All right, that's true. Not very good with money. You trying to make a point or something?
Incredible. Oh, I have a propensity for substance abuse? Wow.
Not that many friends?
I'm bad at the things that I consider myself good at?
Hated by a lot of people in this town?
Yeah. None of the cars that I buy or drive work correctly. You know, basically everything that is paperwork I need for the government is expired, and I refuse to get it any more of it renewed.
I didn't know. Apparently, the city passed a law against hung ass lit white boys. Okay,
yeah, cool. I heard about that. Yeah, they said if it's longer than 5.5 inches soft, you just straight up can't live in Fort Worth anymore. They make you move.
They made a new law, and they said that you have to be a liberal here now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Liberals make me so mad. Something I decided earlier.
Something I decided like 40 minutes ago. Yeah, I decided that libs piss me off, and I'm going to start owning them on that computer.
Yeah, today we were at, like, working at this guy's house. Mm-hmm. He's like a retired police officer or whatever, but mm-hmm. I was just working on his flower beds. I wasn't, you know.
Having sex with him or anything?
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I mean, I didn't like the guy or anything, but he opened up his garage to show us the cars he was working on. Mm-hmm. They were so sick, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He had like a 1947, like fully restored old Ford truck. Mm-hmm. And he had an MG.
Okay.
It's like an old British car maker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's from like it was from 78 or something. It was like cherry red. He'd like rebuilt all this shit on it. I just remember thinking like looking at these two beautiful vehicles, and I look up and there's like a giant thin blue line flag in the garage. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. Would I trade it? Would I trade it all to look back and have this MG in my second garage? And I go, no disrespect to this man. I mean, well, some, yeah.
Yes, but, for sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I, you know.
It sucks that,
I think I'm fine with just ending up, you know, I'll probably just drive like a Honda Civic or whatever forever, which is fine. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
I mean, I'll be honest, like, I would, like, if the opportunity presented itself and it was pretty clear cut and dry, and somebody was like, hey, you can have, like, all the cool cars you've ever wanted, and you could, like, you know, have money and stuff, but you have to, like, go on, like, Joe Rogan podcast, and you have to say, like, not all cops are bad. I probably would just...
There's a big difference between saying that and being a police officer for, like, 30 years.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, just saying that they're cool.
No, oh, just right. saying that they're cool. No, yeah, I would do that for
Yeah, yeah.
I would do that for about $10,000.
I'd probably do it for two, if I'm being honest, because I think that's how much it's going to cost to get the radiator replaced, but...
You do that for $2,000? You would
say cops
fully,
are good?
You would fully switch sides?
Oh, no, I thought you just meant say it like on a podcast one time. No, switch sides I think would take a little bit more than that, yeah.
Like it would I mean, I would say that now. It's just a funny thing to say, but
yeah, yeah.
My name is Thomas White, and I fully support all members of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And I hope that none of them blow up.
Yeah,
I'm glad none of them blow up, and if they blow up, it is the opposite of because of me.
I hope nobody has
it's
sex
because
with their
of
wives.
Other people, and that's so it's cruel that it happens. It's cruel.
My neighbor was a cop for a long time, and
God, I hope he didn't get blown up.
And no, he didn't get blown up, but he would tell me all these stories about, like, I was like 12, so I just believed him. But he would be like, oh, yeah, you know, we went and did a raid the other day. And he's one of those, like, old guys that's, like, just completely full of shit. But he's, like, an old cop, so no one ever, like, questions him, at least to his face. You know what I mean? Like, just one of those, like, one of your parents' friends that's a man, a dad. And everything he says is just 100% dog shit. But, like... He lets you drink at his house, and he's your dad's friend, and you're 12, so you're not going to be like, hey, dude, I think you're fucking lying to everybody right now, or whatever. And he used to say, like, oh, yeah, just last week, you know, we kicked the door in at a trap house off Scott Street in Houston, raided it, fucking, I took down fucking two guys, and, you know, got all the money, got all the drugs, threw it in the evidence locker, done and dusted. And we fucking prosecuted them, and they're looking at serious jail time. And at 12, I was like, oh, that's how that stuff works. He was just like a cop in Harris County. I was like, they let you do that stuff if you're just a normal cop. I didn't understand, like, they have narc teams, you know. Like, I knew what SWAT was, but I just thought, like, if you wanted to do SWAT, you would just be like, I'm going to go do SWAT later. Like, the way that if you work in a kitchen and you're on fryer and they need somebody to wash dishes, you just do that.
Yeah.
And then I, like, got older, and I later found out that he just, like... like, wrote traffic tickets and then just had a bunch of, excessive force charges on him and his record. He didn't do any of that stuff, which I should have just assumed was true, but he was my neighbor and my parents' friend. and I was 12. So I was like, oh, this guy's badass. I know a cool cop. By the way, the stories that I thought were cool were the ones where he would clearly, like, if they were true, he's just doing, like, severe bodily harm to people. Yeah, I pulled this guy over. He got a fucking attitude with me. I pulled him out, slapped him. And I'd be like, that's awesome. I can't wait to do that. And I meant it because I was 12. And when you're 12, that's like right when you stop thinking that being a cop is like a cool job, you know? Like that's like an 8 to 11 year old thing. But yeah, he ended up being just like a normal piece of shit. And not like a cool John Wick style cop. I don't think there are any of those. I mean, maybe.
No, but. I think there are. I've seen some roided up ones who are pretty fucking stout.
I was downtown the other day. It was when I was doing stand up and I was walking back, and all the police horse riders, they were in a circle, like a full circle, in the middle of the road. And for those of you who are not familiar, or if you're not from towns where they do this, Austin has horseback police, which is really fucked up to me to make the horses do that, but it is what it is.
The horses love it.
Yeah, they're really racist. Yeah, they're on the power trip. They were in like a full circle, and then in the middle of the circle, a cop just had a guy on the ground with his knee like in his back. Clearly like a homeless guy, or maybe just like a drunk guy, or maybe like a homeless drunk guy, I don't know. And they were just kind of like lording over this scene or whatever, and yeah, the cop's like not beating the shit out of him, but like, you know, clearly being aggressive with the dude. And I was just thinking, I was like, man, these guys get paid like more than teachers, you know? And then these, like, the job that you get is like, I'm going to ride a horse around town and watch my friend beat the shit out of a homeless. Like, it's 1888 in like frontier Texas. You know what I mean? Like that type of, like, it doesn't compute that the same stuff that they did like 140 years ago is just, they just do it now. But now you have iPhones and shit. Like, it's the same, you know? Like,
yeah.
Hey, what'd you do last week for work? Oh, me and my friends got on horses and we stood in a circle and watched our other friend tase a homeless man. That's awesome. What do you do? Are you some sort of fucking time traveling outlaw? No, I'm a cop. just a normal beat cop, you know, who rides a horse or whatever. What up? Look, we know how hard it is to find motivation to have a balanced diet. We know how easy it is to get off the grind. When you're trying to cook everything from scratch and you're spending hours chopping vegetables, check this shit out. Factor has a solution. That's Factor Meals, baby. We've got the Factor for you. Factor sends chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your door, Big Thomas. All you have to do is heat them up and eat them up. Ain't that right, Big Tom?
Yes.
They have dozens of meal options to choose from, a bunch of stuff. Their Instagram looks awesome because they have all pictures of their meals and they look damn good. And more than 60 add-on items to shake things up. If you just get tired of the same old broccoli, chicken, rice, throw that out the window, because this Factor Meals has plenty of things to add variety to your meals. Whether you're vegan, vegetarian, counting calories, or keto, baby, Factor Meals has meals you'll love without the piles of dirty dishes. Thomas, what was your favorite one? I know they sent you some.
I would say my favorite one was probably the luxurious grilled steakhouse filet mignon. Oh, nice. That really tickled me. And I also really enjoyed their juices that they sent. They sent me some, I guess, little boosters, you know.
Cayenne, and those were apple cider, something like that?
Yeah. Those were really something else. They were, you know, a little lemon juice, a little apple juice. Some
delicious.
Some antioxidants and all that. Really put a pep in my step, the gangsta way.
With Factor Meals, you can pause or reschedule those deliveries at any time. Factor works with you and for you. Now everybody, you're going to get out your pen and pencils and your thinking caps. Head to factormeals.com/pendejo50 and use code pendejo50 to get 50% off. That's code PENDEJO50, PENDEJO50, at factormeals.com/PENDEJO50 to get 50% off. That's half off your meals. We know grocery shopping is expensive. Everything costs $1 billion. That's why Factor Meals is offering 50% off with code PENDEJO50, PENDEJO50.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks.
What if you broke through the circle and there was a rap battle going on
between the sheriff and
between the deputy. like a brother and like a white guy?
Like a white cop and a black cop?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then there was like crazy lighting and stuff and like sweat, like glinting off everybody, you know?
It's like Euphoria lighting, like kind of a purplish, bluish haze over everything.
Yeah. And you're just like, damn. And the horses are like kind of swaying, so it looks like curtains almost.
Yeah. And then the horses are bobbing their heads to the beat.
Yeah.
808s, yeah. Are anybody's abs exposed?
Yeah, everybody's, even the horses.
Even the horses have just sweet eight packs? Okay, cool.
Yeah, but very they're nice. Under the body.
Oh, okay, so you can just make them out under the fur.
Yeah, you can see, if you look under them, you'll see them.
Yeah, okay, cool. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I've never
encountered. You can see all their ribs, too, and their spines.
Oh, okay, so they're malnourished, and but they have muscles.
Yeah, you can see all their teeth.
Okay, so they don't, their lips are gone.
No, they're just smiling because they're happy.
Oh, because they're having a dope-ass time. They're in incredible shape.
They haven't eaten.
They're happy because they're downtown Austin. They look great, and they're watching a rap battle between a black police officer and a white police officer. And everybody's shirtless. And
who do you think would win in a fight, a white guy or a black guy?
How do I say this?
Jake took so long to answer. I think he's racist.
No, I like... this was a topic of argument that... would occasionally come up in like your stupid like bro arguments, but like I always felt that and I don't think it's racist if it's a compliment. I straight up do think black guys are just naturally better at fighting than white guys. Like they're just better at it. Like I don't know. It's just I've just never it's always was assumed that in high school, like if I saw two guys going at it. This goes for Hispanic dudes too. Like, it's just, we're not very, obviously there are a lot of white guys who are awesome at fighting, but coming out the womb ready to scrap, the only white guys who come out the womb ready to run it are, like, Irish guys, and maybe Slavs, like Irish and like, Russians and Poles. But just like us, you know, like, Euros, like, Western Euro guy, no good.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. But, like, black guys just are just naturally better, I think, at fighting. So I would probably say just two normal-ass dudes, nobody knows any training, I'd probably go. Like, same size, same build, same reach, probably go black guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's interesting that you said that.
What do you think about that question?
I think both races lose just by fighting. I think the best answer would be if they both just talked it out. Mm. But you just went, oh, okay, race war time. That's a big problem in society now. You know, that's what we jump straight to. It's, oh, well, we have to fight. Turns out we never had to fight.
Yeah.
Something, a little knowledge is dropping on your white
ass. No, I respect it. I mean, I respect that opinion, but...
But if it wasn't that, I'd probably say black guy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't... I do believe that if stereotypes are, like, nice, then it's fine to say them. You know, like... You know, when people
I'm gonna start getting my ass whooped by Asian guys to help fight the stereotypes.
That's a very, very, very good point because
I know some of them can fight. I've known Asian dudes who can fight well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
but the stereotype is that they can't. But the only way to break it is we go out in public or something, and I just
beat
and
the
I
piss
get whooped.
Out of an Asian. Oh, okay, you get your ass whooped by.
No, because. I don't know. I mean, the whole Stop Asian Hate thing, that was just black guys doing that.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, we've done our fair share, you know, so we can't be too critical. But
right, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it was everybody stop beating up these Asians. You're all doing it.
Yeah.
All you... programmers in Oakland need to stop beating up the Asians.
Yeah.
But it's all right.
I remember like in high school, we would all go, not everybody, but like my circle of friends and like other similar types of guys, we would go to each other's houses and drink beer and smoke cigarettes. And then we would box, you know, that was like we started doing it in like seventh grade and it just carried on. It was like our idea of a good time. And it was fun and I really enjoyed it. And being, you know, in a predominantly Hispanic area, and then just a normal guy without, like, I guess, insane amounts of prejudice. Just a normal amount, I guess. You know, you have your white trash guys, and then you have your fucking brothers, and then you have, you know, the barrio guy, you know. And it was clear as crystal that, like, just nobody really, like, I had started boxing, I guess, when I was, like, 14 or 15, but just normal, like, out the gate, mm-hmm. it was like, white guys get whooped every Saturday. That's just the way that it is. You know, we steal our dad's beer, and so our contribution to the hang is, like, you know, stolen cigarettes and stolen Bush Light and, like, Crown Apple and then, like, Adderall. And that's what we bring. And then, you know, the black gentleman and the Hispanic gentleman, they bring the gloves. Because, you know, I just, when the white guys never brought them. I don't know why. It was always a gym bag of someone's older brother that was a boxer back in the day who had, like, six pairs of gloves, and then we would just all put them on, beat the shit out of each other. And I quickly realized that, like, yeah, you know, in a hierarchy, in terms of just sheer strength and spirit and fighting prowess, it's not our thing, man. I guess we're into, like, stock options and stuff. You know, we're into, like, writing sonnets. We're into, like, ballads. We're into, like, making movies that piss you off and make you think too much. That's, you know... That's where we're at.
Mexicans fight really good when they got a hoodie on. I don't know what it is about those hoodies.
Yes, and I will say, too, do you know how impressive it is, at least to me, to fight incredibly well with, like, skin-tight jeans that you're also sagging? Do you know what I'm saying? Like the kinds that the Mexican guys wear. Like, when you're sagging skin-tight, blue, acid-washed, distressed denim over... foam posits or like Jordans, and you're just throwing them and like slipping and ripping. That to me is like, they need to have a UFC for that. Like, I mean, I guess they do. That's the backyard fight. That's the fucking
street beefs.
That's what that is. But like, yeah, like anybody can fight in fucking boxing shorts. You know, you got range of motion. You can move around. Get into a fist fight and win when you're wearing fucking skin tight acid wash Levi's that the waist is at your mid thigh, and you're wearing ill fitting Jordans. See how good you box then. That always was. I was like, damn, these guys, they just got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was cool. It was like a cool thing to go around. But the problem is, and I don't know if you ever experienced this. I guess we ran in similar circles or whatever types of guys. But, like, I got so accustomed to that when I, like, I guess when I went to college and, like, I first started, like, going to places, like, parties and stuff, I was still in that mode. And I was like, all right, when do we start, like, boxing? I was, like, 18 or whatever. And people were like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, like, anybody got gloves? And when we start beating the shit out of each other. People were like, oh, we're just trying to smoke weed and listening to Kid Cudi. And I was like, I mean, yeah, we've been doing that, though. Like, when do we start? I'm just trying to get the shit kicked out of me. You know, you guys like to do that? And they were like, no. I don't know why you'd like to do that. So I kind of missed out on, like, keeping that going into my 20s. But to a point we were trying to talk about earlier, it's like saying you're a soft boy when you're 25 and also being a guy who, like, boxes his friends in the backyard when he's drunk when he's 25 – even though both of those guys are so different guys. One of them a propensity for whiny pacifism and the other one a propensity for needless violence. Both of them, you can't be doing that past a certain age, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're drastically different loadouts of men, but just not really acceptable behavior past a certain point.
I think there's a certain honor in fighting your friends in the backyard that we've lost as a society.
I seriously, unironically believe that. That is like one of my, like, oh, what's your, do you have a conservative? I don't even know if that's conservative, but I really feel like, I'm serious. I kind of feel like we need to go back to that. You know, I just, some of the, I don't think it makes you any tougher. I don't believe in any of that. Like, we need men to fight. It's just fun to do. It's fun to have like 7 to 10 Bush Lights and just glove up and beat the piss out of your boys or get the piss beat out of you. And I feel like if we did more of that, maybe people would have less panic attacks, like at Chili's or whatever. Or they'd be less scared to, like, order food or, like, you know what I mean? Like, people that are like, we're going to do the guillotines. Like, they're always the people who, like, get scared doing, like, public speaking classes in college. You got to get past that. And the way you get past that is you listen to Seether in the garage with your friends, and you guys all beat the shit out of each other till one of you gets heat stroke. That's the kind of masculinity that I want to bring back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we used to have rub-offs, and those would be crazy. It's where you'd rub one of your, like, on the back of their neck or something.
Yeah.
You rub them until it just comes clean off. You ever do those rub-offs?
Yeah, man, we hung out with Thomas last night. Alex came over. We invited a bunch of dudes over from like Twitter and some of his Twitch friends, and we like boxed in the backyard for a bit, and then we did a rub off. But it's not what you're thinking. We just rubbed each other's necks until our heads popped off, like G.I. Joe's.
That's so the skin pops off, and then you go ah, and then you're rubbed off.
Yeah,
but it's like really dangerous. You ever play Knuckles?
Bloody Knuckles? Yeah.
I remember I got a quarter stuck in my knuckle for a little bit.
Yeah, oh, like in the webbing?
Yeah, because I didn't get it. It was, yeah, because we wouldn't do it till we bled. We would just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then I would just have a hole in my hand for a little bit.
We would do the thing where you'd either do it with a cigarette or a lighter. If you were out of cigarettes, you'd like let the lighter, like, hold it when the flame's burning for a long time, two of them, and then see who, like, you each get each other's forearm, and you just see who could, like, hold it there the longest.
Yeah, I did that with a guy at a party one time where we did the cigarette thing.
Yeah.
And I still have a huge burn from it because he had, like, a case of beer and, like, four Xanax.
Yeah.
Right before, so and I had just... Yeah, I'd had, like, two beers.
Yeah.
And so we did it till the cigarette went out.
Yep.
And then I was like, all right, man, nice, I guess. Had like a second degree burn.
Mm-hmm.
And like I could, like there was like fat melting on my arm. And I'm like, all right, good game, I guess. He's like, bleh. Like he can't even talk. And then I'm like, who did I even prove a point to? It's just like a few guys here. You know? We
used to, we would get like four or we would get like 10 guys. And we would do like a. Almost like a one-man tournament, or not a one-man tournament, like a tournament to see, like, who would be the last man, like, standing. I guess, like, almost like an Ultimate Fighter-style situation, but we would do it, like,
yeah.
And we would do, like, full MMA rules or just boxing, depending on, like, you know, where it was at. And one of my buddies had this, like, big backyard, and, like, one of the funniest thing about it to me was, like, you're not doing it. This isn't legitimate or sanctioned, so there's no weight classes. So, like, my buddy Justin was, like, 280 when he was, like, 15, and I was probably, like, a buck 40. And so, like, you know, you'd fight, you know, just your friend who's got, like, 150 pounds on you. He just beats shit out of you. But anyway, our friend's house that we would do, like, full MMA rules that we would do it because he had a big backyard. His dad was, like, his dad restored, like, old tractors and, like, riding lawnmowers and shit. And I remember I was, like, up next to, like to go. And we were going to, like, whoever won the tournament, like, we'd all put, like, 10 bucks in a hat. And it's, like, whoever wins, like, it's, you know, 60 bucks, whatever. And Justin, like, is fighting one of my friends, Mitch. And Mitch is, probably, I don't know, maybe a little bit bigger than me, like, at the time. Like, 170, something like that. And he, like, picks him up, dude. And, like, just fucking slams him on the ground. And Mitch, like, screams. And I was like, ah, fuck, man. Somebody got hurt. And then he starts laughing. And it's like, oh, man, I almost died. And I, like, didn't. I was like, oh, yeah, it was a pretty bad slam. Like, and Justin's just, like, his face is all white. We went over there. He was like, dude, look. And, like, he looked to his left. There was, like, an iron stake sticking up, like, 7 inches out of the ground. And he literally slammed him, like, maybe 3 inches, 4 inches from it. And we were like, maybe let's not do any more fight. Like, that was kind of the last big event. That was UFC 300 yeah. for us. Because, like 9 times out of 10, all it was somebody would get a busted nose or, like, would split their lip. And his dad thought it was funny. He would sit out there and fucking drink Bush all night when he wasn't at work and would just watch us beat the piss out of each other and, like, be like, fucking whoever wins this one can get the rest of my fucking Winstons. Like, would just give us, like, half a pack of cigarettes. And you're, like, chain smoking in between rounds. It was very much like a... You know, like the type of shit you'd get into if you were a chimney sweep in like 1910s London or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, good way to put it.
And like for some reason, everything that went wrong in that era with our friend group, like we're like, okay, no more Ultimate Fighter in Mitch's backyard. it's just not good. Because it definitely would have been one of those things where had he impaled Mitch on that spike, I would have been one of the guys on like. The first 48 where it's like we would have just tried to put Mitch in the shed probably. You know what I mean? Like you just get scared and then you just put your friend's dead body in the shed and then you just go play Halo. And they would have made like a Netflix documentary about it or something. Because we were probably – we just thought it was so funny that he almost died. Like, damn, dude. Get fucking good. Get tough. You got slammed like a put – like when you almost die with hanging out with your friends like in a drunk driving accident or like a near miss or something – for the first 10 minutes, it's scary, and then the guy who fucked up and almost died just becomes the biggest pussy in the friend group for, like, 2 months. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, later on that night, Mitch was, like, we got really high, and I remember he was, like, kind of having a moment where he was, like, dude, if that really would have happened, like, I would have fucking died. Like, it was, like, right where my heart was. We were all sitting there, and we were, like, yeah, you probably would have bled out like a fucking gay idiot. He probably would have cried too, because like Mitch was like he was just kind of like the friend that was like he would always say like I don't want to do the fighting thing, and then we like do it anyway. But we were like, yeah, pussy, because you're always chicken out. You probably would have been the one to die, you fucking homo. And just he's clearly having a moment, like a near death experience, and we're like all like drinking beer in his dad's garage, and we're like, yeah, dude, quit bitching. It's not like you fucking died or anything. It's not like you died horribly in your own backyard and bled out.
Yeah, you probably wish he threw him on your butt so yeah. you could...
get fucked by the big metal spike.
Yeah,
that
so
killed.
It could probably make probably give you a prostate orgasm, dude.
Yeah. It was... That shit was so much fun. And I feel like now, like, to your point, not kidding, like, if we were... Like, when we hang out, you know, I'm pretty sure Alex would be down probably if we had enough beer and the timing was right. But if we went to like a friend's place, like the kind of get togethers that we've gone to, and we suggested that we all go in the backyard and fight, like one of us would be asked to leave, if not both of us. And I miss it. You know what I mean? Like it's just casually like after the fifth or sixth beer really hits that your lower intestine, you're like, man, I feel like I want to box somebody for 1 minute and throw up in the backyard and get gassed. You know what I mean? Like, that's just...
Yeah.
It's a lost art. It's a lost sense of wonder. You know? Like your imagination goes when you're, like, 20. It just goes, you know? It just...
Yeah.
You can't think of cool things anymore. You can't just spend time with yourself. You have to be doing something. Same thing, you know? The excitement of getting drunk and getting to a fist fight with your friends goes away past, like, when you start paying taxes, I guess. You know? And training doesn't count. Like, going to the gym and, like, being into jiu-jitsu or boxing, like, that's the adult version of that, and that's fine. I'm not talking about that, though, because it's weird. It would be weird if I went to Fighteria tomorrow and I brought a six-pack of Miller High Life, you know?
Like, it would be cool, though.
Oh, no, it would be awesome.
You know, in your own way.
Yeah.
I would respect it.
Yeah, but it's not the same as, you know, on a nice 110-degree summer night, mosquitoes are buzzing, you're buzzing. Fucking Breaking Benjamin's playing on a blown out Bluetooth speaker. You're wearing your fucking big ass and ones. You're strapping on some fucking absolutely tattered Everlasts. And your buddy's strapping on some fucking like old Reebok like pad gloves, not even boxing gloves, the gloves that you use to hit the fucking bag with. And y'all are just throwing fucking haymakers at each other's heads. Goddamn. Thinking about my youth, Thomas, as I stare down the barrel of 30 years old, I'm just thinking about what could have been. I could have died getting in, you know, could have gotten CTE. I probably have a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you probably have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 30 is a big milestone for you, you know.
Yeah, it's big, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I never thought
after this, you know, it's 50-50 on the 10-year milestones, you know. But
yeah, you really like after 30, it's kind
of, I'd say about half of people make it to 40 from 30, about half of people make it from 40 to 50.
Yeah.
You know, and then you your chance of living to 70 in America is about 1 in 100 nowadays.
Well, it's, you know, I already kind of like made the, like, you know, I can't, not that I want to kill myself, but like, I feel like there's a window of time when it's not, it's always sad when someone kills themselves, you know, like if you're a guy in his 50s or 60s and you kill yourself, it's like, yeah, he didn't want to age. He didn't want to become like decrepit. So you understand it. And when a teenager or someone in their 20s kills themselves, it's like, oh my God. It's such a tragedy. So much wasted life, wasted youth. But I feel like from like 30 to like 40, if you kill yourself, it's just like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like it's maybe 30 to 50 even, you know, like a 20-year span.
No, I think it's really, it's from like 19 to like 80.
Really? Like it's,
because I think it's like, unless you're really good at guitar, I've talked about this before. I think if you're really good at guitar, you get a way bigger window.
Yeah.
If not, it's the day you get a grown-up job.
Yeah.
If you kill yourself, you are just a guy who killed himself.
Uh-huh, yeah.
If you kill yourself before you're out of high school, then at least, you know, maybe at graduation they'll have a little note, you know.
He could have been something. Or he something. Was funny. He could have been an actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Which you couldn't have, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's not. You it wasn't going to happen for you. Yeah.
No, but the point is you just got to try and stay alive forever, and it's just how it goes. But yeah, if you kill yourself, you know, when you're 35, people say, "Oh my God, he was such a good insurance analyst." Oh my God, he could have gone on to work his way through middle management.
Yeah.
He was going to make such a good, he was just such a good sous chef. Someday he was going to be head chef of a different restaurant. This restaurant he was pretty much fucked at. He'd always be sous chef there.
Yeah,
but,
he wasn't going to make it out. At my dad's celebration of life, you know, all of his, he called them the get along gang. But all of my dad's friends that were still alive, or like, I guess not, you know, destitute or whatever, like they came by and I met some of them for the first time and some of them I hadn't seen since I was like a baby. I don't even remember meeting them. One of those guys, Greg, like a kind of like a long ponytail, like Southern hippie. You probably know exactly what I'm talking about, but like a guy who's like, he smokes weed and he like does acid from time to time. But he also like doesn't like immigrants, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
like a Dimebag Daryl type, you know, like cool as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like there's no doubt in my mind that I would love to fucking hang out with him, but also is just like extremely just yee guy also, you know? And, we're all sitting in a circle, and it was pretty heartfelt, you know, and everybody's telling stories about Dave, you know, and, you know, one of his buddies, Jorge, is like his best friend, was like, oh, I remember we used to play fucking shows together, man. And, you know, Dave, you know, he always had to get a load on before he played, but even at his drunkest, you know, he played fucking better than anybody, you know, everybody just kind of, you know, getting teared up. And then one of his other buddies, Big John, had known my dad since he was like 7. And they're like, we used to ride bikes together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we used to go down to the ditch and, you know, shoot Nutri-Rats and tee-hee. And, you know, and it comes around to Greg. And Greg, you know, he's sitting there and wiping his eyes. And he's like, well, one time we were on I-45 and we were heading to the beach house, you know, and my mom's here, my little brother's here, you know, we're heading to the beach house and God, you know, we're listening to fucking Van Halen and we're all just ripped, you know, we know what's going to happen. You know, we're in it to win it, baby. We were having a good ass time, and I look back, and David's just got this stare, you know, empty in his eyes. And he looks directly at me, and I thought maybe he was going to tell me something. And then he just cocked his right hand back and punched me in my nose and started beating the shit out of me while I'm doing 85 miles an hour on the fucking freeway. And, like, the whole mood of the whole circle just shifts, you know. It's like he is like, he just starts beating the piss out of me. And you know, that was one of Dave's favorite pranks. And I was sitting there, and I was like, prank? And he was like, yeah, he loved to prank his friends. He would just be in the back seat just not talking to nobody and then would just start beating the shit out of you. And, like, all, you know, like, it went from, like, you know, there was kind of like a facade of, like, oh, are we just going to tell the nice stories or are we going to tell the fun ones, too? And he just kind of broke into that and was like, yeah. And I was like, well, how the fuck did you deal with that? And he was like, well, the thing about your dad was, when we would get into fist fights, your dad had a secret move. I think I told you this before. Your dad had a secret move where if I was ever, you know, beating the shit out of him, getting the better of him, he would just pick me up and slam me on my head on the concrete. Like, and he was like, he had this move, man. And I was like, what's the move? My dad was never, like, into martial arts. He was just a big guy. I'm like, what's this move? He's like, man, it's fucking, he would pull it like something out of a movie. And I'm like, dude, are you going to tell me my dad knew how to do, like, spinning back kicks? Because I never saw him do it. He's like, yeah, he had this move where he'd pick you up by your waist and dump you on your fucking head and knock you out. I was like, oh, sick. Anyway, like, after that, it was all just like, you know, I was like, oh, if it's a celebration of life, like, we'll keep it PG. And then after that, like, all of, you know, everybody was like, yeah, you know, we were at the titty bar one time. And my mom's just sitting in the corner like, God damn it. we were at the titty bar one time, and fucking Dave just, you know, I think he ran out of ones. And so he just started throwing quarters, you know. And, you know, them ladies don't take too kindly to that, but your dad's just such a charmer. I mean, he could have been throwing fucking buckets of piss up there. They'd come down and talk to him, you know. And everybody gets drunker, everybody gets drunker. And it gets to a point where it's just like all of the people who had came who had their lives together were like, well, I never experienced any of this with my friend. And they had to go later, you know. It was getting dark. And it just ended up being like, yeah, like, I guess his shithead friends who had, you know, straightened up a bit. But we're all just like, yeah, you know, he used to, you know, he had this thing he'd do where he'd drive his car drunk and crash it. Like, he had a, I remember him, he told me he was like, he worked on a tugboat like 80 hours a week. And he saved up to buy like one of the late 80s, like Pontiac Firebirds, like a T-top. Mm-hmm. And I had like brought that up. I was like, did any of you guys ever ride in the Firebird? And they were like, oh yeah, your dad loved that thing. And I was like, whatever happened to it? And they were like, oh, I figured he'd have told you. Yeah, man, he loved it so much that on the second week of having it, he wrapped it around a telephone pole. I was like, damn, he didn't tell me about that. And they were like, yeah, he didn't get arrested that time because he got out of the car and walked to his mama's house. The police just like found the car or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's sick. That's awesome, you know. Because I've been to a couple of different funerals and celebrations of life, and nobody ever starts a story with like, oh yeah, when your grandma died, she was the best. She used to love to go to the titty bar. You know what I mean? Like, it just, the emotional, I guess, miasma or whatever, that the emotional energy of your average celebration of life isn't, you know, you don't bring up stories that involve the words titty bar, I guess, you know?
Yeah,
it was pretty funny. It's always funny too when like my mom, like that night, you know, she's, you know, a religious woman, and you know, but Ash was sitting right next to me, and you know, they had pictures of when my dad was younger, and Ashley made a joke, you know. She was like, you know, because we always like, as I, you know, we would tease my mom like, why'd you keep coming back, you know, whatever, because you know, dad was who he was. And you know, Ash saw a picture of my dad when he was younger, and she was like, I get it. You know, he was a handsome guy or whatever. You know, like, I see, okay, Stacy, you know, I see you, blah, 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 blah. And, my mom had like 4 or 5 Michelobes or whatever, and she was like, yeah, you know, that's that third date. You know, I was out at this club next to the titty bar, and he came out of it, and I looked across from him, and he looked at me, and he came out of that strip club, and I just knew that'd be the father of my children. and I was like, that's so awesome. She just was such confidence. Like, she doesn't really talk like that. So when it came out of her mouth, I was even taken aback. She was like, I mean, he came out of there with his long ponytail and that flannel on, you know, and them fucking stupid square cut boots. And I said, That's going to be the man that you know, I bring us life into this world with. I was like, okay, I see probably how they got along originally, you know, back in the good old days or whatever the fuck. But I don't even know why I brought that shit up. But, yeah.
Hell, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty deep into the episode.
Yeah. No, I don't think it matters. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah, the killing yourself thing. Yeah, it was like. You know, we were all bullshitting or whatever, and I had brought up to one of his buddies. I was like, yeah, you know, he always told me when I was a kid that this was one of his more put-together friends. I was like, he used to tell me when I was, like, a kid that, you know, if he gets to be 65 and, you know, he's sick or he can't get around or nothing, that I should just shoot him. And he was like, excuse me? And I was like, yeah, you know, like, when you're old, you don't want to live no more, and you just have somebody kill you? And he goes, nope. No, I never crossed my mind, but hey, thank you so much for the lasagna. Y'all have a good one or whatever the fuck. But I think if you have like a cool life, you don't have to be a good person. But if you have a cool life, then I think maybe doing it is fine. To your point about like insurance and middle management, like it's if you have like a cool rock and roll life, even if you're not a rock star, then I think it's probably fine. You know, like a Hunter S. Thompson style guy, like, you know, when you're like, I don't need to be around this shit no more. I think I've drank all the beer in the world. I guess I'll check out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter S. Thompson was a unique case in that his he literally could not drink anymore because his kidneys were like exploding. I think.
Yeah.
But he, I think he chose an appropriate time to make his exit.
I think.
But
in his suicide note, he was like 65, like 20 more years than I needed or wanted. Or something like that. And I remember thinking, like, all right. maybe the suicide note should be like, you know, to sweet Darla, you know, I'm sorry. To my boys, you know, I wish I could have been there for you. You know, I feel like if you write a suicide note and it's poetic, it's like, all right.
Hunter S. Thompson, I wish I could smoke one more gay little cigarette.
I wish I could.
Or maybe shoot a gun like a big retard. But instead,
I'm gonna swallow.
Of being I wish I could be annoying on TV again.
Instead, I'm gonna fucking suck start this 12 gauge, and die.
Oh God, I wish I could still be around to see a bunch of guys in their 20s pretend to be me for 5 years.
Yeah. That probably like, I'm glad he missed out on that, cause I think like the Kurt Cobain thing, he like didn't want to be famous or whatever. And it, like, really bothered him, so he, like... I mean, there's other reasons you blow your brains out, not just because you don't want to deal with the trapping.
Yeah, he accidentally heard his own damn music.
He heard that song and was like, it just sucks. I'm going to kill myself. Yeah, like... I guess, you know what's funny is, like, Chris Cornell and Layne Staley... And Kurt Cobain, like, all those guys did it, you know. And then, like, Scott Weiland of Stone Temple Pilots, like, he died of an overdose, I think. So, like, the only one of those guys that's left, really, aside from the Pearl Jam.
Oh, please don't die, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. I was going to say Billy Corgan, and it's like, it is kind of like you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Because, like, if you die when you're 27, 28, and you're like, a rock star, and you're cool, you know, then it's like, ah, he probably could have made so many more albums that were awesome. And he, you know, he said, fuck the man. Well, Billy Corgan is like 50-something now, and he's like, you know, Israel rocks or whatever the fuck. Which probably would have happened to all of them, you know. Like, the guy from Sublime, if he didn't die of an overdose, he probably would have just been like a Trump guy or something, you know.
Yeah, he would probably be working at the last Blockbuster in existence.
Mm-hmm. What about
It's crazy that Morrissey never killed himself.
What about Backbuster? And you go in there and you you rent a guy that fucks you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be, I mean, for me, that wouldn't be super interesting.
Oh, okay.
Not it would be interesting, I guess, in that it would be, I wouldn't be bored, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I would be terrified, mm-hmm. really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would go in for a movie viewing experience.
And then you would get
not to get pounded back out. Shots. I'd say, stop pounding me out right now. No more back shots.
No more back shots.
That's I'm going to be in front of the White House with a big sign. No more back shots.
Yeah, you're doing the cadence.
Back shot Biden. Get out of office. We want missionary Trump.
Yeah, we don't, none of this progressive.
Front shots Donald.
Donnie front shots Trump.
No more back shots.
No more back shots. Fucking let's go back shots. Let's go back shot. Yeah, when Biden was in that interview and he was talking about like the secret to like a healthy long marriage was like good and frequent sex, and was like my advice to young people is always keep your doors closed and always keep it. There's no way that his penis still works. I mean, I don't know, maybe it does, but
no, that's an interview training thing. That's like a PR company answer.
You think so?
Yeah. He's trained for interviews.
No, of course. I mean, he's the president, but like
That is a manufactured answer.
Mm. I thought
that was a decision by somebody else for him.
Like
to say
a younger cabinet.
He doesn't know what pussy is anymore. That's like a lollipop to him. His penis, if his penis went in a vagina, the skin would come off of his penis in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would be like getting the pit out of a date. You know.
Yeah, I remember like when I saw that, and I chalked it up to like maybe he had like a moment of like horny lucidity. You know what I mean? Like he had a moment of like clarity, and he's an old man. And so, like in the State of the Union, everybody was like, look, see, he could talk and he has energy. Which, like, if you're yelling, by the way, if you're yelling that at me, look and see how energetic this man is. You're wrong. He's not dying. The first thing I'm going to think is that he's dying. Like, if you have to flex on how good he is at talking. Anyway, I thought the sex thing was, like, his brain started working for, like, 2 seconds. And if you're 900 years old and you, like, don't know what year that your son died, and your brain clicks on, boop, like boosts up for a second, like a computer. Of course, the first thing you're going to think about is pussy, I would imagine. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like an old-ass dude who doesn't understand the world anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're all like, Pop-Tarts, chicken sandwich, Pop-Tart, take a nap, I need my medicine, Pop-Tart. Getting pussy is awesome. This is the secret to life. Having lots and lots of sex with my wife. And then, you know, go back to being stupid.
Mm.
Hey, if you're listening to this, that means that you're not stupid. That means that you're probably the smartest guy in your friend group, and you know a lot about pop culture. And you
and back shots.
And back shots, front shots, side shots, and fucking angled out shots. If you want to get more shots, you should head on over to PendejoTime.com.
Patreon.com/PendejoTime.
And we've got all different sorts of tiers with different and cool fucking badass motherfucking rewards. For just $1 a month, the Miho tier, you can get access to our Discord where people have made awesome friends and have given me advice on how to fix my van. And they've gotten jobs, I think. A couple people hooked each other up. And lifelong friendships. $5 a month gets you access to that and a bonus episode every motherfucking week. $10 a month gets you all those things plus a bonus video episode every month. And $50 a month doesn't get you anything else, but you can just help the show get better.
Thank you.
Patreon, if you're listening, I need my money because I need to buy a camera. I want to buy a 4K camera for podcasting, and I need the money now. I need it. So give it to me, and we'll be all good, and I won't have to fucking show up at your doorstep, at Dr. Patreon's doorstep, with a fucking big-ass sword. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.